everybody, and welcome to episode 410 of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast for Saturday, November 18th, 2017. I am your host, Mark Kuznets, and today I'll be talking about some games like I usually do. Those games are Dublop, Tower 57, and Rive Ultimate Edition. But before I get to all those juicy things, I don't know what is wrong with me. It's very early in the morning, that could be the problem. But I was trying to play some Halo with my father yesterday, and after spending a little over an hour trying to figure out what the hell the problem was, we did not end up playing at all because we could not get party chat to work. And long story short, the mic on his headset is busted, but I just kept trying to fiddle with this and that and adjust this setting or that setting or just find any kind of thing that could potentially fix the problem because I couldn't wrap my head around it actually being a hardware problem because how could that happen? How could his mic just stop working? It's crazy. He has the official Xbox One stereo headset, which is a pretty nice headset. It's very comfortable, and the mic on it, when it worked, was decent, but more important than that, it is a very comfortable headset, and it breathes, doesn't make you sweat, even though it's over the air and all that jazz, but that doesn't work, and I now have to purchase him a new headset, which is both good and bad, given the time that it happened, because I can probably get him a decent deal, given that Black Friday is now less than a week away. But also, that takes away, or just adds to the expenses of purchasing games and other crap that is on sale or that I see. And I'm like, oh, that looks good. Oh, I'm going to get that. So, it's a blessing and a curse. But the worst part about it is that I just have to wait until I get him a headset for us to play, because he needs... He said, this is fine, I can hear you, you don't need to hear me, and I need to hear him for confirmation when I tell him to do something or whatever so that I know he understands what I'm telling him to do, because in some of these games, I have to hold his hand, figuratively, because, you know, he's not a huge gamer and he doesn't always know what he has to do or where he has to go, especially in Halo, which is... I mean, for a regular gamer, that game can be confusing at times with just like, where do I have to go? But, c'est la vie. Life is cruel. Treat you unfairly. Even so, I do that. I've done that reference way too many times to Austin Powers, to The Spy Who Shagged Me. Horrible. What is wrong with me? But, that happened. And, yeah. So, moving on to the games, I guess. Maybe I'll talk a little bit about Black Friday. I don't know. It's happening, and there are deals that have been put up early from Best Buy, and I'm sure other sites have done as well, like TVs and some video games or whatever. And yeah, I'm looking at all the deals, and my focus, I think what I'm doing this year is putting a firm stake in the ground, a line in the sand that says, if it is not 50% or more off, do not purchase. So even though there are some games that, like in the Xbox digital sale, not Vanishing of Ethan Carter, the Ethan, whatever that other one, all I know is there's some game that came out this year, I believe, at least on console, or at least on Xbox One. Edith Carter? Edith Vanishing Immediately? No. Is that the one? It's something. All I know is there was something that came out, and all my other co-hosts on Pixelated Radio, they loved it. And it's on sale for $13.39, 33% off, regular price, $19.99. And I looked at it, I'm like, ooh, maybe I'll pick this up. But no, because there's just too much stuff. And I need to be firm with this, because it'll eventually be 50% off probably. And if it isn't, it'll be 33% off again. And you know what? By the time it's on sale again, I would have not played it anyway. So what the hell's the difference? But the way I like to focus on my digital purchases, at least, is with just purchasing digital-only titles or things that have co-op that I can play with my father. Because then you purchase it digitally, we both get a copy of it. He doesn't need to worry about fiddling with discs or anything. So that is my goal. I'm looking at both Wildlands and Rainbow Six Siege as two possible pickups for that. And I also think he would just like Wildlands single player because he'll always have three teammates with him who will do a lot of work and make him feel like he's actually doing a lot of stuff, even if he's maybe missing every enemy. They're doing it, so what's the deal? And then Siege is just a quality co-op thing, though I think it might be a little bit too difficult for him. And then I was also looking at... I kind of just want to buy The Division for myself digitally, even though I haven't played it in over a year. I was really just deep in that game for a month or so. And then after I completely leveled both sides of the character, the dark side and the regular side or whatever the two variations were, I just kind of stopped playing because what else was there to do? But do a bunch of hard things that would require co-op or whatever. But I really like that game. And then, yeah, there's some really good deals physically. I think Target's going to have both Resident Evil 7 and LEGO Worlds for $15. Walmart's going to have Tekken 7 for $20. Best Buy's going to have The Evil Within 2, which I'm not interested in, but... The Evil Within 2 and Wolfenstein 2 for $25, which is a pretty damn good deal for those, given how recently they came out. And then there's some other things, but my biggest thing that I want to pick up is 100% Shadow of War for $30, $29 at Walmart and Target. And I wouldn't mind picking up South Park. Maybe Assassin's Creed. Also, I just remembered Mario plus Rabbids, $30 at Walmart is probably the best deal of the bunch, just because even though it's not a Nintendo game, Switch games have not been going on sale frequently, and given that Mario is in it, and it is, I would say it's closer to a Mario proper game than stuff like Mario and Sonic at the Olympics, I don't think it is a game that will be going on sale frequently or for that much. That might be the best deal on that game for a year, if not years. So, I mean, it could go on sale for that again next Black Friday. But until next Black Friday, I don't think so. But I've just been meandering for almost 10 minutes about nothing that anyone cares about. So I'm going to jump into the game. So Dublob, which I really like saying in that way. Dublob, Dublob, Flames Blob, Dublob. I'll take a martini. Colored, not black and white. So Dublob is a game. It's a game that originally came out on the Wii. I don't know. I'm maybe close to 10 years ago at this point. And it's only now coming out on Xbox One and PS4. And I believe PC. It might have come out on PC a little earlier. But it is a very simple 3D platformer where you are this little, I guess you're Dublob, and you are colorless, and you could absorb colors. And in each of these levels, what you're just doing is painting the world in various colors. You have red, yellow, and blue little, like, paint characters that you can smash and get their color absorbed. And then, of course, you can mix blue and red to get purple, yellow and red to get orange, and yellow and blue to get green. And then if you mix three colors, you get a sort of nasty, pooey brown. But it's still a color, and it counts as a color. It's not toxic. And you're just going around painting buildings, billboards, nature, vehicles, etc. You're just painting the entire environment in various colors, and you will get challenges that tell you to paint a specific block or row of buildings, which is the same thing. I don't know why I just said that. A certain color, or to paint all the billboards in an area in a specific time limit, or to follow a path and reach a bunch of various waypoints in a specific time frame, or to take out a number of enemies in a certain time limit. And that's all you're really doing. You paint the environment and you increase your score to unlock a new area until you get to the final area, and then put in a bunch of color into something or other, and then it unlocks the little pond thing that you go in to complete the level. And that's pretty much all there is to it. It's very simple. It's not very challenging. It's a great game for kids, I'd say. It's very family friendly. It's very cute. It's got some of that kind of charm you get with Minions or the rabbits, where they're just going blah 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 blah, and, you know, and they do stupid little silly things, but not any, I don't think it's anywhere near as charming and delightful as those, though to some people none of that stuff is charming, delightful, and just annoying. I like it. So keep that in mind. But I would skip a lot of the story bits because I just didn't really care about that. And then the game itself, I think, is decent, but it is a bit tedious, very repetitive, doesn't have that much variety to it, and you can stretch out the length of time you play a level by going after all the challenges, trying to paint, at least, I think one of the challenges is painting 75% of the world, and you can collect all these hidden things and do all these challenges and do all these kind of things to make a level last 45 or so minutes. But if you just go for completing a level, you can probably knock them out in 15 or so minutes. And, you know, that's nice. The one thing I don't like, though, is that, and I'm not sure, I haven't gone back in to see if hidden things that you collect are still there when you replay a level, but what I don't like is that when you start a level, there is no kind of checkpoint or anything or saving and quitting. So if you start a level, you got to finish it. So if you are someone who wants to collect everything and fully complete a level, and you've spent 40 minutes on it, and then something comes up or the system crashes or whatever, and you only had 5 more minutes worth of crap doing to do, what the hell was that? Then you're just going to lose all that progress because there's no kind of autosave or continuing a level. It's just you start the level and you have to finish it. Everything in between means nothing if you don't finish a level. And that's a bit annoying. I don't like that in any game where they don't have any kind of save state or ability to quit out and to just get back in the game to continue a level. But it's a decent enough game. I you know, like I said, it's very family friendly. So if you're looking for a platformer that is cute and very colorful, of course the levels don't start out colorful, but when you add color to the world, it's very cool. It's a very fun little thing, and I think little kids would also be kind of awestruck by that. It'd be very fun and exciting to just see this world come to life as you are running around it in various colors. And the controls are very simple. There's not a lot to them. So you really only have to worry about jumping and locking on and then using the jump button to jump onto those various enemies or paint bucket things. So it's very simple to pick up and play. And I think, you know, so it's a very good game for the little ones, but not so much for adults. I was pretty bored with it quicker than I thought I would be. And then moving on to Tower 57. This is a game that is only on Steam so far. Well, on PC. Could be on other PC stores. but it's coming to Xbox One later, and I'm not sure about PS4, but it is a arcade twin stick shooter that is in a 16-bit art style, but very, very detailed. So it's taking that 16-bit aesthetic and using the power of today to just make an incredibly beautiful looking game. And the thing it reminded me of immediately, the game it reminded me of immediately visually when I booted it up was Zombies Ate My Neighbors. So if you play that game, just think of that from a visual standpoint and multiply it, just put it to the max and then multiply that by 100. That is what it looks like. It's a very, very gorgeous game. But that, I don't want to say that's all it has going for it, but the music in it was meh, very forgettable. And there are little sound bites of the characters that are very annoying, very repetitive, and don't add anything to it. They're not humorous, not even the first time. And I would just like the characters to shut their stupid mouths immediately. But the way it works is that you start off the game and you select three different characters who have three different specials and three different weapons. I mean, they each have their own weapon and their own special. And when they die, they're gone for good. And when you lose all three, the game's over. You can say it auto-saves and you can restart with just the last character you had alive. But they're essentially like lives, and when you lose all three characters, you might as well just start all over again. And that is one of the most frustrating parts about the game, because you do have areas between the hostile areas where you're attacking, where they're just full of civilians, and you're going around, going to stores, and upgrading things, buying items, and just finding little tidbits of information about the world and all this other kind of jazz. And I just wish there was some place, and maybe there is, the game in no way pointed me to a place like this. In my searching, I found nothing of the sort, but I really wish there was some store, some building, something in the game where after I finish a level where I'm actually attacking enemies and I'm in this friendly zone, I wish there was some place I could go to pay money to bring one of my characters, or both if I have enough money, back to life so that I can get my lives back, because the characters work as lives. And I wish there was just some way I could do that, because it's just frustrating that once you lose a character, they're gone for good and there's no way of returning them back. There are points in the game where you can have a character who gets their entire torso cut in half, so they could lose their legs, and you have to get to a little machine and repair your legs. But using that machine, there's no way to resurrect a character completely. If there is, I didn't see it in there or wasn't clear, and that's just annoying. If the option is in there, that changes everything. But that is something that really turned me off on the game. That said, the twin stick shooting of it is fine. It's not the greatest feeling shooter, and the enemies aren't the best. It doesn't feel that great, and the enemies aren't providing a strong challenge or interesting battles so far. But I've only put in a little over an hour, and I'm definitely going to be putting more time into it, but there are just these little things about it that I really wish they would change. But it's all right so far. It's beautiful looking. It does have online and local co-op, which is nice, and it is only, I think it's $12 regular price on sale through November 23rd for $9.95 or so, basically $10. And that's not that much if you're a fan of these types of games. It's worth looking at looking, why am I saying looking over? Just check it out. Why don't I just say check it out? It's worth checking out. And yeah, I'll probably talk about it again in the future, unless I played and really, really, well, maybe I'll mention if I really hate it, but so far it seems like a solid twin stick shooter, but there are these things about it that really turn me off, and I wish they would change them. Or maybe the things that annoy me about the game are already in there and I just don't realize it, or the game isn't clear about it. Either way, that's not great, but yeah. And it was also a Kickstarter game, I believe, because I walked up to some stone in the middle of this friendly area and it just had a bunch of names, so I'm assuming those are all the backers, which is cool. And you know, it's always nice when a Kickstarter game actually comes out and it's not completely terrible. So moving on to the final game, Rive Ultimate Edition. This came out on Xbox One, I believe, and PS4, and it came out on systems previously, and now it's on the Switch, and that's what I've been playing it on. And I completely forgot I played it before I started playing on the Switch. And it is another twin stick shooter where you are this little robot. Well, you're the ship, and you are being controlled by this trucker dude who always has something snarky to say. I don't think any of I think a lot of words in that last sentence had the wrong letters in them. I think I said the trucker dude is very starky at times. He's very starchy too, and snarky. But the game is it's a thing. I don't know. It's all right, but I get a little bit annoyed with the way it's designed, in that you are traversing, you enter this giant ship or whatever, and it starts off with this sort of shmup side-scrolling asteroid feel thing where you're just destroying asteroids, and you get to the ship, you enter it, and in the beginning you were flying around, but when you enter the ship, gravity turns off or whatever, and you are sort of this, your ship turns into this kind of arachnid little machine. So you're maneuvering that way and jumping instead of flying around. Still use the right analog stick to shoot around in any direction. You can upgrade your ship to give it special weapons like homing missiles and stronger shields. And you're going through the ship for reasons unknown. Or maybe the story did tell me and I didn't care. I don't really care about the story. I think the story is at all interesting. But you're going through the ship. And the way it works is you go through these little areas, and then at some point the game will be like, okay, this is an area where we're just going to bombard you with enemies and lasers and a bunch of crap, and you're going to die a handful of times, probably, maybe more depending on your skill level. And you're just going to have to keep doing this until you get through, and good luck with that. So I don't like that it just sort of is... it just is weird the way it's balanced difficulty wise. It just kind of, it's not too difficult, and then it throws you into these little kill box areas that are just there to frustrate the shit out of you, and then you get through them and you kind of feel good about it, and you continue on until you get to another one. And sometimes the way these areas are designed is that the area is scrolling and you have to jump around while a thing is chasing you, a laser that is just covering the entire side of one screen, and you're going to die the first time because you don't know what's ahead of you, and you just sort of have to learn the map and the layout so that you can navigate it much quicker than the first time. And I hate shit like that. I hate anything where you can't realistically beat it the first time because you don't know what's ahead of you, and you need to know what's ahead of you to memorize it, to actually get through it. I hate that shit. Don't like any of that stuff. That's not always the case with these specific sections, but sometimes it is, and I hate the shit out of it. So that's really annoying. And then there are times where there was a time where they put it back into sort of a flying section and made it more of a shmup, and then they took away my ability to shoot in every direction around my ship, and I could only shoot forward. I couldn't even shoot in a 180 degree angle or anything, just straight. And enemies were coming from behind me. And I don't know if that was a bug or just the design. If it's a bug, then they need to fix that shit. If it was a design choice, this is an awful design choice, because it was the only time that I can remember where I was limited in my in where I could shoot, in the directions I could shoot. And with enemies coming behind me, it seems like it was a bug. If it wasn't, I don't know what the hell they were thinking, because it feels terrible. It's so rare to have this game where I was able to freely shoot in any direction, suddenly stop, and no matter what direction I point in, it's always shooting in one direction. It's also just like weird on the brain to be pointing in one direction and wanting the bullets to go in that direction when the entire time before that, the bullets would go in that direction, but not right now. And then enemies would be coming behind me, and I would have to avoid them or try to like get below them or above them while they get past me, so then I can shoot them or just avoid them completely. It felt awful. And I hope it was just a bug, because if they actually put that in purposefully, I don't know what the hell they were thinking, because it felt terrible. But, you know, it's all right. If you take away that stuff, it's okay, but it seems like there won't be much to do once you finish it. It's well put together for the most part. The visuals are good, runs well, but it's got these issues, and I really hated that section. That one section that, God, I hope so badly that was a bug. But that's Rive, Ultimate Edition on Switch. You can pick it up if you are a Switch fiend and just buy everything that comes out for the Switch, but I would pass on that and pick up The Flame and the Flood if you haven't played that already, because that game's amazing. And I haven't played it on Switch yet, but I love that game on my Xbox One, and I've heard it's pretty good on the Switch, so check that out. But, that will do it for today's episode. Once again, I'm your host, Mark Kuznez. Y'all can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Xbox Live, Monomilus, Steam, all the usual places, at PX Sausage. The site is, of course, pixelatedsausage.com, where you can find this podcast, Pixelated Radio, which only has one episode left, and the Pixelated Paranormal Podcast. And you can also find the art I do on the site. And you can also just find it all over at pxsart.com, where you can find links to where you can purchase prints for the pieces you fancy. And if you'd like to support the site in general, go over to patreon.com/pxs. So that will do it.